Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me in the studios today is Lee Cantor, our producer. How are you, Lee?
I am doing okay. Enjoying the spring?
I am, and glad to have you back from your vacation of last week. It was a little dicey here for a few minutes.
Touch and go?
Yes.
Then you start appreciating me, huh?
Yeah, that's right. And I want you to know that Stone, we bestowed upon him assistant producer of Ujiria.
Oh, okay.
Okay? All right. So watch your backside. Joining us today in Dallas, Texas is Kevin Ritz. Good morning, Kevin. Are you there?
Good morning, Sam. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's the weather there? As Lee was saying, it's going to be our weather in 2 days.
Yes, prepare for cold and rainy.
Well, we've got some of that coming today, so we'll be well prepared for it. I'm going to hand it off to you, Kevin, so take it away.
All right, thanks, Sam. Joining me in Dallas, I have with me Claudia Shook, who is a social worker and community liaison for Freedom Hospice. How are you doing today, Claudia?
I'm great, thank you.
Claudia, why don't you start off by giving us a little bit of your background, where you're from originally, went to school, and how you got to Freedom.
Okie dokie. I am originally from Oklahoma and traveled up to Michigan for graduate school after a brief stint in Missouri. I have my undergraduate in psychology, my graduate degree in social work, and found myself as a volunteer at Hospice of Michigan up there, and eventually fell in love with it. Became the pediatric hospice social worker there for a few years, and I was very cold, so I moved back down to Texas to warm up and have 10 years subsequently in the hospice field.
Well, that's great. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Freedom Hospice and some of the services that you provide to seniors?
Freedom Hospice is a small hospice that was started in Arlington about 3 years ago. We cover Granbury, some places I honestly don't even know, larger territory down south, Fort Worth, and then all of Dallas. We have a good census that fluctuates daily, as we were talking earlier, in home health it happens too. Fabulous nurses that specialize in pain management, especially with those in assisted livings and independent livings that are utilizing other home health to support them. A lot of people want to stay in that stay in place, age in place feeling. So we come in, and I come in as a social worker. I start out as their liaison to learn all the options, not just hospice, but where they could go for skilled in case they wanted to try that too. I work with their doctors to help them understand what's available because it's a scary time. It's a difficult time. So what's different about Freedom is that I stay with the patient from start to finish. I'm your liaison, and then I come in as a social worker also and provide the emotional support, community education on what's available for their loved one in the home, all the way to the day of death and then to the funeral and bereavement and beyond.
Wow, so you wear a lot of different hats.
I do.
So you mentioned pain management. I think hospice kind of has a scary connotation to a lot of people. Let's focus first on the pain management side. What exactly does that mean, and how do you go about managing different types of pain, whether it's from cancer treatments or something else?
Well, there are many, many types of pain, as a nurse would tell you. First, we start with what their diagnosis is. Somebody with COPD and CHF versus cancer is going to have a different type of pain, and it's going to be accompanied by anxiety. What we specialize in is knowing how to address each specific pain with a medicine that has the easiest route, if you will. A lot of folks get to where they can't swallow pills and tolerate that in their tummies throughout the day. So we have gels, liquids that can go under the tongue if a patient can no longer swallow. And there are other routes that can be taken to help a patient feel comfortable. But it does start with where their pain is. If it's a bone pain, there's special NSAIDs like an Advil that's ramped up, I guess you could say, to help with that, all the way to those gels, ABH gel for anxiety to help help the pain med work better because you need to calm down. Usually when you have pain, you start to get very nervous and anxious, fearful of if it's going to get worse or when is it going to get better. So as a social worker, I come in and try to help the families understand all the options available, and I work with the nurse to let her know, hey, you know, it's working or it's not, and let's go back in and give them some more support and change it as necessary, and stay by the bedside if need be, 24/7, if they need a nurse to stay and get it under control.
Yeah. I know when I started in the senior care industry, I came in with the assumption that hospice was for, like, the very end of life. What, and I've learned since then that that's not necessarily true. What are the qualifications for somebody to be admitted to hospice, and how did somebody go about looking into that as an option?
What we really need is a physician to give us an order. But that doesn't mean that if a patient or a family member, a neighbor, somebody at the coffee shop, honestly, has come up to me before and said, I've heard of hospice. I hear it's only for the last few minutes, but I can't believe that's true. And that's when I get my chance to educate, because there's a huge misconception that we are there in a crisis. It's best to not come onto hospice in a crisis, because it's not set up to manage the last few hours. It can be done that way, but optimally, I get to the physicians and educate them on, say, for cardiac, say, you have to have a New York stage of 4 of your cardiac disease, which means it's progressed, before you can meet qualifications. You don't have to be homebound. You don't have to give up going, you know, to Walmart or to church, or we even help people travel if they can. But you do need a physician to say that it could be within the next 6 months that you may pass away. No one has a crystal ball. I've had patients come on, and then within a year they discharge. They're doing so well because they get such good support. They have a nurse to come to the home and help them with anything 24 hours a day, as opposed to having to bounce back and forth to the emergency room. So I've seen people actually get better and come off service and then come back on later down the road. So there's no hard and fast rule. You never know.
Yeah, so what's the difference between hospice and home health? Just kind of walk our listeners through kind of what they can do that you can't do and what you can do that they can't do.
We have a focus on palliation of symptoms. We do not have a focus on you have to meet a skilled physical therapy or occupational therapy or speech therapy or wound need. So you can be on hospice services and receive your social worker, your chaplain, a home health aide to bathe you, dress you, bring in all your medicines. It's all covered by Medicare in full. And you really don't have to meet any requirement other than you need that support and you have some symptoms that are showing that you're declining in some way, eating less, your life is limited by your ability to move maybe, more pain or more anxiety, breathing out of control, that type of thing. In home health, you typically need to meet a skilled, you need physical therapy because you had your knee replaced. Once you've finished that physical therapy and you've met that goal and you can't go any further, then usually you're discharged. With the exception of maybe a wound or something that can happen. But we can actually use home health in conjunction with hospice for some needs. If you want to be able to stand up at your daughter's wedding, we can get physical therapy in to help you get strong enough to take care of that need, meet that goal. But hospice can stay in a lot longer.
Kevin, can I interject here?
Yes.
Claudia, I'm going to ask you a theoretical question that may be applicable to Texas. I'm not certain of the regulations there. Here in Georgia, we do a lot of business with hospice. We're in association with a lot of hospices here, and there's always one situation that creates a problem for us. Here in Georgia, our CNAs cannot administer narcotics. So given the situation of pain management, can you speak to how best address that problem when the client requires that regimen of care?
We highly encourage our patients to have a caregiver that can administer something. And I have had that happen in the assisted living. Here in Texas, assisted livings are widely ranged in what they can do and who is on staff. And you're absolutely right. Our CNAs are not allowed also to give a narcotic. Typically, though, we do have either a family member or somebody in the building that can come in and administer that medicine. If need be, we can put a patch on, and there are meds that most meds come in some sort of patch form, especially pain, that can be applied and then removed and reapplied every 3 days by the nurse when she comes out. If we ever got into a situation, though, where a patient just needed somebody there to administer medicines because they don't have anybody else until their fabulous social worker can come in and figure it out for them, we would have a nurse stay with a patient.
Okay, and let's go back to the patch. Obviously, I know that's a dispensing mechanism. Is that an appropriate form, and I'm asking you a medical question now, but is that an appropriate form of treatment in all cases?
Not in all cases, no. Some pains don't respond to that type of medicine that's in the patch. So it just depends on what type of pain is there, and if need be, if the patient themselves is able to swallow a pill, and we do have patients that live home alone and do take a hydrocodone or something along those lines by themselves, and we have caregivers that would come in and monitor those meds and help them with that. Our ultimate goal is, though, to have somebody available to them or have a plan in action so that when they get to where they can no longer help themselves, we have somebody to help them.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Claudia, you, as we mentioned before, you wear a lot of different hats at Freedom Hospice, from the community liaison to the social worker. What do you find most rewarding about what you do?
Definitely patient and family time, for sure. Going into their homes and hearing them say, you know, the other day somebody said to me, I had no idea what hospice could do. Had I known, I would have called earlier. And I'm telling all my friends, and that just does my heart good because a lot of people, I'd say 9 out of 10 that I talk to just in my day, have no idea what hospice can do. They assume it's just a nurse that's going to come in and give too much morphine until you die, unfortunately, and that's been portrayed in the TV shows and, you know, Kevorkian issues, et cetera. But definitely my time with patients and families is the most rewarding. Marketing can be fun. It's very stressful, as we were just discussing earlier, in and out of your car all day, and maybe
right.
The person at the window slides the glass shut and doesn't smile, so that can be difficult.
So you've been in the industry for quite a while, so I'm sure that you have no shortage of stories that have affected your life. But if you could pick out one instance where you, whether it was a family member or a patient themselves, that you really, that impacted your life, what would that be?
Probably when I was doing pediatric hospice, I had a little boy who had a brother who wasn't much older than he. He was 5, and a mom taking care of everybody. And we laughed a lot in that home, believe it or not. It's not all just tears. We cried too. But when he died, she realized that she had not made his hand impression for his precious hands. Have you seen them on the wall with the plaster? Yeah. So after he died, that's what we did because she was so distraught she'd forgotten to do it. And we kind of giggled through the process, and she said, I bet you've never done anything like this before. And I was in my early 20s at the time. I said, absolutely not. I'll never forget it. And that's been over 20 years now. So that was something that will always stick with me.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine. I imagine that pediatric hospice is even harder than the senior stuff. And man, I can't even imagine.
It's different.
Yeah, that aspect of it. If our listeners could take home a piece of advice from you relating to hospice, whether it's a patient or a family member, somebody that needs to hear something, what would that be?
Always ask that question that's lingering in the back of your mind, even if it's something that you might be afraid to hear the truth. Because I know a lot of families, they believe the physicians who are fabulous and love them and want the best for them, but don't want to tell them those difficult things. And most families and most patients have said to me, I've already known. I've known for a year things weren't going well, but I was just playing along because everybody wanted me to. Ask the question, you know, how are things really going, and does this treatment really seem like the right one for me? Because a lot of people want that time with their family and not to be in the hospital and be sick. So.
Wow. Yeah, and, you know, in the 9 months, not 9 months, 7, 8 months that I've been doing this, that's the first time that's come up. That's really good. So I'm glad that you said that. If our listeners could want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They could call my cell phone, and that is 972-310-4018.
Okay.
24/7.
All right. And with that, we'll toss it back to you, Sam.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. Claudia, a great big thanks for you being on our show. Great information, a good perspective, and a very touching story. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For our listeners here in Atlanta, that is kind of going to be it for today. We're going to wrap it up with that. We want to remind our listeners that if they'd like to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as we close, as always, we want to say that if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.